you just bow your head this morning as we just ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, as we again take a moment to look into your word, Lord God, we're asking for your anointing not only upon our heart but upon our ears, that what we hear, Lord God, we would apply. What we hear, we would live. And what you desire for us is what would become our desire. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. How many know there's hope that even though this world sometimes has some things going on that we don't like? Say amen to that. There's so many things that can distract us. There's so many things that can keep us from seeing what God wants us to see. And if you don't learn anything else from this series that we've been in for a couple weeks, is that God gives us life lessons, or allows us to go through some of life lessons, so that when the time that we're in our darkest time, that we can learn these lessons, and God helps us to get through these things. In the life of Joseph, is more than what some of us can even think of, because it just seems like one after another something was happening, and you think of Job, and then you look at Joseph, and I've said that I believe in times that he was the same way, that things just kept coming at him and coming in his direction, and if he didn't stay focused, he definitely would have got lost in everything that was going on. And you know, this morning I want to just take a moment to look at Joseph's life and finding purpose in trials, finding purpose when we're going through situations that are beyond us. And you know, in the last couple of weeks, we really saw that bad things happen to good people, and it's not necessarily that sins in your life, it's because sins in the world, and bad things can happen to us. It's what we do with those things that determine how we're going to come out on the other side of that. We can see that things don't always turn out the way we planned, that you sit down and you plan out some of the things that are going on in your life, and you do everything that you can, and sometimes things just don't turn out that way. And just because we're living for God doesn't mean that we're not going to have times of struggle. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to regroup and just draw that much closer to the Lord. And last week we looked at it is there was something different about Joseph. There was something different about him. Even though he was going through these hard times, even though he was struggling, even his enemy saw that there was something different about him. In fact, when, you know, he gets accused of something he didn't do, and he's in prison, and even the prison guards see something different, puts him in charge, and that doesn't happen by chance. Say amen to that. It doesn't happen by chance. It's intentional. Joseph lived intentionally because God was working in him and through him. You know, if we have this belief that life is fair, we're going to be disappointed. If we believe that, you know, most people are going to be fair to us, we're going to be hurting. Most people don't live by the guidelines that we're living under. Most people don't, you know, base some of the things that they do on whether God would be pleased with it. And some are just willing to sell you out for a handful of gold, sell you out for a quick pleasure, or sell you out for lust or greed or whatever. But the Lord says he hasn't forgotten us. Say amen to that. The Lord says he hasn't forgotten us. There's nothing that doesn't go past the desk of Jesus Christ. And when we understand that these things happen, but God will be with us, he helps us to get through these things. And you know, one day, maybe it will be on the day we die. Maybe not on this side of heaven, but God will make things right. Say amen to that. It's not our responsibility to justify and take revenge on somebody else. It's our responsibility to be sanctified and to be living the life that we're supposed to live for God. Joseph's life was a mess, But it wasn't of his doing. Joseph didn't want this. If you stop and you think about it, he never seemed to get a break until God showed up and revealed to him what his purpose is. Say amen to that. Because all the time that he was going through these things, he didn't understand at times why these things were happening. But as he went through them, as he kept focused on God, he could see that God had a plan. God had a purpose. And then all of a sudden, after so many years, these plans are revealed. Remember from the first week of the series when we looked at, you know, he was sarcastically called a dreamer. And that wasn't a compliment. He was a dreamer because he went and he told people that God spoke to him, that God had a plan for him, that what he was doing was going to be different than what they were accustomed to, and they didn't like it. Then he's ambushed and wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife, and he had no control over that. In fact, he reacted the right way, but they took it to the next level. They accused him of it, and because of that, he was put into prison and sent to prison for something he didn't do. And you know what? Couldn't you sense that Joseph, for all of that time, sensed that God had forgotten about him? Wouldn't you have felt that God had forgotten about you? You're trying to live your life the way you're supposed to. You do the right things. You didn't fall to temptation and hear these things go on. And if you really narrowed it down, 17 years from the time that he started this, you know, that before he really found out what his purpose was. And in, you know, during the portion of the text that we're going to look at, he really is in prison for 2 years because of Potiphar's wife. And he's in prison and he's going through all of these things, and the guard shows favor and comes to the point where two of even the inmates say, you know what, I keep having these dreams. And Joseph said, aren't the answers to prayers and answers to dreams from God? Let me hear. And the two share that share their dreams. The one, the cupbearer, shares his, and really Joseph comes to him and says, you know what? God's going to restore you. God is going to help you. You are going to take back your position that you were given before you were in prison. The other inmate says his, and God says, Joseph says, you're going to die. God says you're going to die. And these things happened. And the one that was restored, the one that had the dream that took him back into the king's presence, was supposed to let the king know of Joseph's wrong justice, the things that were done to him that weren't fair. But again, Joseph doesn't get a break. And finds out that another 2 years go by, and all of a sudden the king's talking about interpreting dreams, his magicians and all these others, interpreters and seance people couldn't get what the dream meant. And then after 2 years, the cupbearer remembers that, hey, you know what, king? While I was in prison, there was a guy that told me what was going to happen. I was to be restored, the other one was to die, and all these things came true. And I sit there and you think, why did God allow Joseph to go through these things? Why would he allow all the time and the trouble and the pain to go through these things? Why didn't he just remove Joseph from it? Isn't that our prayer sometimes? When we're going through these things, we're just saying, God, why do I have to go through these things? I'm sure it's just me. I'm sure none of you have ever asked that question. Why does God allow us to go through the pain and the suffering? The answer for Joseph is the same for us. That in our pain and in our suffering, we must learn to depend on God. Say amen to that. We must learn that lesson. We must learn in those times of trouble to stay focused on God and not our situations. See, I know when I preach a message like this, I know when I'm looking at different people here, I know that some of you have been waiting for a long time for God to answer specific questions going on in your life. And the deepest questions that you have for God that They're not answered yet. And I have to be honest. I look you right straight in the eye this morning and I say, I don't know why some people's prayers are answered quicker than others. I don't know why God works in our lives the way He does at times, but I know God works in our lives. I know that God does not get any enjoyment out of watching us suffer, but I know that He gets delight when we fulfill our purpose. When we come through these hard times and we realize what lessons we need to be taught, and it teaches us to depend on God. It teaches us to stay focused, not on the circumstance, but on God, that He gets honor and glory. And we learn from these trials and we learn from these things that are supposed to help us. And then He gets honor and glory when we take that information and take those life lessons and we go on and we help someone else. Amen. Anybody out there? There are so many people that live their lives under the assumption, if I only got a break, if I only had this family, if I only had more money, if I only had a better education, if only people would notice me. People are always looking at other people with jealousy and envy, and you know, we don't know how a person got to the place where they're at. Say amen to that. We sometimes look at somebody and we think they've got it made. They have all gotten the breaks, but really when you sit down and you talk to that person, they went through more than you can imagine. All you're seeing is them on the other side of their circumstance or other side of what you're calling a break. And they're not showing all the times that they were crying out to God. They're not showing all the times that they didn't have the answers. But yet we're looking at them like, oh, they just got a break. They didn't go through hardly anything. If only I could be that way. You know, several years ago, they came out with a study. It was called Cradles of Eminence. And they examined the backgrounds of 300, what they were calling, highly successful people. And here's what I want to show you. This is amazing. They discovered that 75% of them came from broken homes, raised by parents that at some point had rejected them. 74 out of the 85 writers of fiction that they interviewed, and 16 of 20 poets that looked at experienced abusive drama in their lives was the reason that they could share these stories, and having parents that were screaming at them and being abusive, and 25% of them had handicaps such as blindness, deafness, or missing limbs or dysfunctional parts of their body. And then you realize that sometimes in our adversity, God brings us to our best. Say amen to that. That He takes us to a new level. And it amazes me, because there was this point of people that would try to keep their kids away from and immune to any diseases. If, you know, they wouldn't bring them to church because they could get a cold. They wouldn't allow them to be in a school setting because they could catch something from somebody else. But you know what they found? The more that they kept people, their kids away from those circumstances, later on in life, they were more apt to get diseases because they did not build up any tolerance to common colds, to common sickness, and things are going on. And the point that I'm saying here this morning is that all of these studies are showing that if you learn from adversity, if you learn to build up an immunity to some of the things going on in your life, if you don't think that life's fair and that every time something doesn't go your way, you're ready to be bitter and angry at somebody else, but that you would use the successes that you have in your life to move forward, that you live a better life. 13 chapters, if you really look at the book of Genesis and the life of Joseph. And you know what? When you're looking through that, the only thing that really sticks out to me in the midst, besides the trials, is that almost all the time the things that Joseph was going through, It ends with the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him and helps him to get through these things. And our darkest nights, when there seems to be no hope, God can change your world. Say amen. There's so many. You realize that sometimes you could be so close to God doing a breakthrough in your life, and he's saying, hang in there. You don't know what I'm doing. Just hang in there, and can change your life, can change your circumstances, can answer that long-awaited prayer. So that's my introduction. Some of you are going, oh, no. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 41. I want to look at several verses here just as I just try to grab on to just a couple points. Genesis chapter 41, starting at a weird place, but starting at verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had made him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zebanith Panai and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God had made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said, there was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do what he tells you. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened up all the households and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. Do you realize? I know that was extra long verses. Thanks for staying right in there. But do you see that Joseph found purpose after through all the things that he went through? Joseph found purpose there. When God reveals purpose, it allows us to understand and make suffering and our trials more bearable. When we learn the lessons and find out that we have purpose for our lives, we really reveal God's love in action. Say amen. Joseph was sold as a slave. And if you stop and think of it, he has nothing. He was nothing as a slave. He had no say-so. He had no authority. He had no position. He had no value except maybe for his muscles and what he could do. What he had as a slave was more than anybody else because he had God's anointing, because he had God's amazing grace, because he had God's amazing favor. And he was waiting on God to reveal his purpose. He was waiting on God to reveal why he had to go through these things. And if you stop and think about it, a ship doesn't know it's any good until it gets in rough water, until it sees if it can float. And if you stop and think about a soldier that goes through basic training and all the things that are needed for combat, he really doesn't know he's a soldier until he goes into combat, until he uses some of the things that are taught to him. How do you know your faith is strong until it's tested? How do you know that? Everybody says, I have faith, I believe this, I believe that. And then when you go through a hard time, you really see where it's at and where your faith is at. A.W. Tozer, in one of his books, talks about a relationship between a hammer and a nail. Which would you rather be? Most of the time, we want to be the hammer. We want to pound somebody else in the ground. We don't want to be the ones pounded in the ground. But A.W. Tozer, in his illustration, tells us that if you're thinking that as a nail and somebody's always beating you up, you're going to have a hard time. But if you stop and you think about that both of those tools belong to the master and that he has a choice in whether and how each of us live our lives out. And if you realize that, yeah, I may be the nail, but I'm holding something together. God has allowed me and gave me the position to hold something together. We start to look at things different. The end result should be to please the master. The end result is to do and be what you were created to be and do all of these things. God uses these things that we go through to shape us. And sometimes we don't like it. We don't like that sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we're just that rough ball of clay, and we don't like when God begins to mold us and shape us into what we need to be. I often say the only one that can deal with me is me and God. Because I can put on a presentation of being so-and-so, but only God knows my heart. God only knows what I'm going through. And at times we need that, and we need to see what God wants to do. So a couple keys. I know it's five of, and I will have you out of here shortly, but I want to look at two things. His relationship with God, despite the circumstances, despite all the things that he's gone through, and despite all the problems that he had, his relationship with God was rock solid. Say amen to that. All the things that he was focused on what and pleasing God. The most precious thing that you have, or the most precious thing that you need to get back, is your relationship with God going through these things. He is the rudder for our ship. He is the one that makes us battle ready when the enemy just seems to be beating on us. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're going through good times, praise the Lord. You ought to be giving God thanks for all the things that he's done for you. If you're going through a hard time this morning, you should be praising God, knowing that he's not going to leave you there. And that he sees us and he's going to help us through those times. And if you're going through a rough time, praise your way to victory. And don't forget that he doesn't leave you or forsake you. At your darkest moment, there is light at the end of every battle. Amen. Say amen. Because it's true. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Purify your hearts. We can't even imagine sometimes the blessings we lose by losing focus. And until we get to heaven, that is the only time that we're going to realize the blessings that we lost because we have lost focus, or that we just didn't hang in there long enough for God to accomplish all that he wants to accomplish, and that our relationship has to be strong enough that even when we're going through hard times, we're determining that we're going to walk with Jesus. We're going to hear from Jesus. We're going to keep communicating with the Lord as he takes us through these things. And the second thing is building trust. Do you know that you can't command trust? I can't force you to trust me. Trust has to be earned. Trust has to be, you know, from your past that I got your back. I'm with you. And Joseph knew that he could trust God. Even though he was going through these hard times, he knew he could trust God, and he wasn't going to bail out on him because of the circumstance that he was in. He learned that he could trust God. He learned that he, in the hard times, that God was going to bring him through. Where in the world did our society get to the point where we feel like God has to give us an explanation on everything that's going on? Every time something happens, it's like, God, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you show me that? Why didn't you give me a heads up? God, why in the world didn't you let me know that? Where in the world did we think that all of a sudden we're equals with God, like God needs to tell us anything? Thank God he chooses to tell us. Thank God he wants to bring us through the times that he does with the anointing that he gives us. But where in the world did we ever come up with the assumption that God has to do something? God has to show us. God has to be there for us. God, you have to bring us through this time. Joseph's right perspective allowed God to work in his life, allowed him to be who he was, allowed him to finish strong. He believed that God is God and he didn't have to have all the answers. And God used that to minister to him. There are lessons to be learned in a trial, and I'm telling you, if you don't learn the lessons, if they don't become life lessons learned and they become life lessons taught, you're in trouble. Because the time is, if you don't learn it when God wants you to learn it, and he has to come back and teach it to you in another way, it's usually more severe. It's harder. And we struggle with that because we think God's being tough on us. But God's trying to get us to the next level. And when we don't learn the lesson, I guarantee that the next time is going to be a little tougher. Anybody besides me ever try to fight God? Anybody besides me learn that that's not a good place to be? I'm closing. We live in a world that's a mess. But it's all we got. Until we get onto the other side of heaven, it's all we got. We are called to live here. We are called with all of our blemishes to live our lives together and walk with God through these times. We are called to be different. We are called to be an example, and we're called to live the life of Christ instead of just living our lives the way we want to. It's easy to be the same. It's hard to be different. Joseph was different. Nobody would have blamed him if he would have gave up, but he chose to take the high road. He chose that he was going to find what God's purpose was. Webster's definition of purpose is this: the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. If you would ask God for that answer to that question in your life, would it change your life? I believe it would. We each have a different purpose in our lives, but the one thing that we have in common is that we all should be walking with God. We should all be listening for what God has to say to each one of us. You may have been born into adversity. I've heard some of your stories, your lives either were tough starting or they're tough right now. You may be in adversity, but you don't want to live there. Say amen to that. You don't want to live there. You want God to bring you out of it. And you want to be listening to God to help you get out of those things. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you for your goodness this morning. We look at these circumstances and we say, Joseph could have gave up. I don't know if I could have did all of that. But Lord God, he had the anointing of God. He knew that the Lord was with him. And Lord God, help us, teach us to depend on you. Help us to stay focused. Help us to find our own purpose. Help us to, as a church, walk with you. Lord God, each one of us are here today. We got people on vacation and we got people away. But Lord God, this message is for us that are here today. Each one of us can draw and draw close to you. Each one of us has purpose. Each one of us is not here by accident today. And that you would get honor and glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.